compromise. No, that's a big mistake. Freedom's on the march, God is on our side. Sure to say a prayer for those courageous souls we sacrificed. Don't think.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes. Good afternoon. It's good to be back. It certainly is. Yesterday was a travel day, coming home from Washington and the Take Back America conference. I tell you, what a time. It's good to be back in the TIB broadcasting building in our beautiful studio here, high atop the building, looking out across the beautiful landscape of Southwest Florida. I always love going to Washington, D.C., but I don't know. This time was a little bit different, so it's very, very good to be back. Very good to be back, I must tell you. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got Jonathan Alter on tomorrow. Do you want to remind you that? Talking about his new book on Franklin Roosevelt, a fantastic read, by the way. And we've got Sherrod Brown, Congressman Sherrod Brown from Ohio on today. Of course, he's taking on Mikey DeWine from Ohio for that Senate seat. And we think Sherrod Brown's going to come up a victor in that. And that's one of the big victories that we need here this year to take control of the Senate. And Sherrod Brown, one of the real good guys in Democrat politics. He really is. And so we'll be happy to have him on. He'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Welcome to everybody. We've got a lot to talk about today. Much in the news. Of course, we'll, I'm sure, mention. And by the way, you can call and mention yourself, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. And before I go any farther, I'd like to thank Bruce Birch for helping engineer the program while we were in Washington. And, of course, Bob Kincaid back at Head On Radio Network, of which we're a part, and back at the main headquarters there, producing the show. We appreciate the help of everybody doing that. It was, I don't know. It was a challenge, I guess, setting up. And you should have seen this place. Really, you should have seen it. It was at the Washington Hilton, just off of Connecticut Avenue. It's the place where Reagan got shot there, by the way. And very interesting, beautiful big hotel, fabulous, and the convention center and all that involved. And I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 Democrats there. I never did find out how many for sure. people of all stripes there. They had a big exhibition hall. The various people had their exhibits set up. I particularly enjoyed the folks at Mother Jones. Oh, what a group. Enjoyed that Mother Jones group. And the folks from the anti-Walmart group and many, many of the different groups in there. But Tom Hartman was there, a good friend Tom Hartman. It was good to see him, although I didn't get a chance to talk to him as much as I wanted to. And Mark Levine and, oh, let me see, who else? I'm trying to think who else. But anyway, the whole gang, well, conspicuously absent, except for Rachel Maddow, was the AAR group. I don't know what happened there. I knew Mike wasn't coming. I didn't know why Randy wasn't there, or Schultz didn't want to bother with it, I guess. I'm not sure. But anyway, the whole affair went on without him. I must say it was a challenge carrying our equipment to D.C. We stayed in a hotel, a good bit away, and ended up taking the Metro, which, by the way, I think is the finest mass transit system I've ever seen. I've been on it before, and it's a terrific way to travel around Washington. We better get wise in this country, and every major metropolitan area needs a system like that. And I'm sure it can be improved, and I hear people in Washington complaining about it, but I sure thought it was just the berries, as they say. A good, cheap way to travel quickly any place you want to go around Washington, D.C. So if you get to town and stay in a hotel good bit away, if you want to, you can take that Metro, and it's actually just very pleasant, I think. We were actually clear over in Maryland at College Park, Maryland, and it only took us about 32, 33 minutes to get clear over to mid-Connecticut Avenue. So nothing wrong with that, and only about, I don't know, $2 or $3. So I know, I'll get started on what I wanted to talk about here in just a minute. We're going to talk about this seemingly huge step up in propaganda coming from the Bush administration. I want to talk a little bit about Hillary's talk at the conference the other day. Do definitely have to mention that. We had a great spot there at the conference. Just as you came down the main escalator to come into the whole shebang, there we were, right in front. You could not miss the big old Guy James Show banner, right? It's the first thing you saw as you got off the elevator. So I don't know how we ended up with that kind of luck, but we did. I know some of you are absolutely going to hate me and probably turn off the show for what I'm about to say right now. I know some of you will. But I hope you'll bear with me and at least hear me out for what I'm about to say. And you know me, and I really don't give a damn if anybody likes it or not. If I'm thinking it, I'm going to say it. I don't operate any other way. It's gotten me in trouble before, and probably will again in my lifetime, but I'm not going to apologize for saying anything I'm thinking, because it's what I believe, and it's what I truly believe. You know, I don't pass out very much BS on this program, hopefully none at all. The Take Back America conference was good for me. It really was. We got into town on Sunday afternoon and once again took in the sights and walked. After I walked around D.C. for a lot of miles, found myself sitting on a park bench at the pond between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial and the Vietnam Wall and the Korean War Memorial. It's a beautiful place to sit and reflect. And I was sitting there thinking, where else in the world is there such a place, such beauty and such history all in one small area? Free people building a monument to their freedom that is Washington, D.C. Well, Washington, D.C. is a monument to freedom, in my opinion. I really believe some of the monuments there might last as long as the pyramids, you know, if they're taken care of, and they do take great care of them. Seems like every time you go, there's some scaffolding up around one or another of the famous monuments, the Lincoln, the Jefferson, the Washington. So on Monday morning, we headed to the Washington Hilton on Connecticut Avenue, and we went down to the convention area, and we set up the broadcast equipment and looked at the various displays set up in the exhibition halls, and there were lots and lots of liberal organizations there. And really, it was, or as most of them say, progressive organizations. Damn, I hate that. I really do. But really, it was the typical Democratic big tent-style meeting with centrist Democrats on the one end of the scale and the rad fringe on the other. And it didn't take long to find out there were even some Lyndon LaRouche people there hawking their wares. Is a guy ever going to give up? He's been running for president how long now? I don't know. I seem to remember about 40 years worth. I don't know, but it's been a bunch. Anyway, there were a lot of great people there, some important, some well-known, and not that any one of them is really more important than another, but some of us, you know, some of them think they're more important than the rest of us. But the longer I was there, the more of the fringe people I started to notice. People walking around with their backpacks filled with literature for saving the, the purple and pink yellow-bellied sapsuckers and that sort of thing, you know. Guys running for office who were as far out as you can imagine. People walking around just begging for an opportunity to be interviewed on one of the radio shows originating there in the hall. It was a three-ring circus, really it was. I've been a Democrat since I first understood the difference between the parties, which was pretty doggone early in my life. And I've enjoyed the diversity of the party, the big tent, the big umbrella, and all of that. But I have to tell you, and this is the part where you're going to be angry with me, and again, I don't care. I think the tent is bulging at the seams. And I think it's in danger of bursting and destroying the whole tent full of groups. Imploding, if you will. About 5 o'clock Tuesday evening, it hit me that all of a sudden, I understand why people gravitate to the Republican Party. I don't understand their ideology whatsoever. I never will. I'll never be able to understand how you could grasp the ideology of the Republican Party. That's beyond my comprehension. It really is. But it's those middle-of-the-road Republicans I'm talking about here who joined the party and voted Republican because it's chic or because the Republicans seem, I don't know, they seem more like the organized, more sensible group, if you will. Sensible, I don't know if that's the right word, but let me put this in the proper context. I'm just saying that the people who belong to the Republican Party seldom have to wince at anything the party does. Now, I say that fully realizing that they've had to wince for 5 years now at the antics of George W. Bush and Cheney. This is something different for them. It really is. They had to do a little wincing there. But if you go to a Republican gathering, you're not going to have some young lady running up to you, and this happened to me, begging you to please get on the microphone right now and help stop the cops from sawing down a tree with Daryl Hannah up in it. That made me wince. I understand what Hannah was doing. I understand that perfectly. But it was the way the young lady, you know, her arms full of literature and all, it's just the way she was acting that made me wince. And there was a guy walking around on Monday passing out literature that said that Democrats should disavow Christendom altogether because, well, I don't know what the because was, but again, I had to wince. And of course, there was no shortage of people who were there for the sole purpose of tooting their own horn and trying to hitch a ride on someone else's wagon. Lots of political parasites who circle around the big shots in the hope that they'll get thrown a crumb now and then. Kind of reminds you of those little fish that attach themselves to the whales and the big sharks as they swim along. That's just kind of what it reminded me of. I have a warped sense of things like that. But I was sitting there wondering, what is this all about? Really, it was just another choir practice, and that's all it was. I enjoyed a few of the interviews immensely. Hell, who wouldn't enjoy talking to Glenn Greenwald or Mike Tomasky or Cliff Schechter? Names that many folks haven't heard of, but people with fantastic insight into the political process that is, at times, like a runaway train. But all in all, I didn't think much of it. People worked very hard to get it organized. Others worked hard, really hard, to line up enough good interviews for those of us in the media, and it's all appreciated, really. I appreciate their efforts. But the one thing I took away from the conference that made a real imprint on my political mind is that I don't like to wince at things I see and hear within my party, and I'm having to do that more and more and more nowadays. Maybe it's just me, but I could do without the wincing. I really could. You know, we've got our grassroots movement. We've got our netroots movement. And I think there's I don't know if I coined a new phrase or not, but I just kind of think of it as the kook roots network there going on. So if you like, go ahead and flame away. Call me and tell me I've lost it. I really don't care. But I've told you I'd tell it like I saw it, and there you have it. I just I don't know. I think it finally was the last straw with me when I saw the LaRouche people walking around at this Take Back America conference, and I'm thinking to myself, my God. I mean, I know it's a free country, and I know there's no one touts free speech and free expression like we Democrats do, but Lyndon LaRouche group there, I have to tell you, I would have had them escorted out had it been up to me. I don't know. I'm getting more liberal as I age. I really am. And yet I have less tolerance for kookiness as I I don't know. I guess I'm one mixed up puppy. I'm not sure about that. I've got a real bone to pick, and if you've got a comment, give me a call. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Love to hear if you have anything to say about what I just said. How many of you saw the new, I don't know if you want to call it platform, the new, I might as well say it, the new Democratic House platform called the New Direction, the New Direction for America platform. I think they just put it out yesterday afternoon. I'm not sure, yesterday afternoon or this morning. I don't know which. Have you seen it? Have you read it? Are you happy with it? I'm not. I am most definitely not happy with it. If you haven't seen it, the New Direction, which is going to be their campaign cry, I think, the New Direction for America. A bit simplistic, I think. That's okay. I'm a simplistic kind of guy. But New Direction. So let me just go down through this list. They don't have them in alphabetical order, so I have to wonder in what were the priorities of the order of this. Negotiate lower prescription drug prices with pharmaceutical companies for Medicare's drug program. Fund stem cell research. Increase access to health care. Fine. Good things. Increase science research, ensuring the teaching of evolution. Increase funding for community college. Okay. Cut student loan interest rates by half. Hell of a good idea. Ensure access to family planning methods and abortion. Fund infant and child care. All right, I'm okay with that. Increase the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7.25 an hour and increase employment benefits. I'm right on board with that. Enact funding recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. Institute lobbying reform. Implement balanced budgets. Pay down the national debt. Blah, 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 blah. Enact tax changes to benefit entrepreneurs, fine. Focus national security strategy to nations' borders, increase port security. Fund more public transportation, promote environmental restoration, repeal subsidies for oil and gas companies to encourage renewable fuels. And the source of this is the Office of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. What the hell are these people thinking? What are they thinking? Are they so much of a coward? Do they have so much cowardice within them that the number one issue facing this country today, at least to their constituents in the Democratic Party, the number one issue is the goddamn Bush War, and they did not mention it in their New Direction for America? I'm sorry, but what could they be thinking? Somebody mentioned to me, somebody sent me an email, well, they indirectly mentioned it when they said focus national security strategy to nations' borders and increase port security. The New Direction for America? And there's nothing mentioned in it about Bush's war? Is this a joke? Is this just a joke that started circulating around and it supposedly came from Nancy Pelosi's office? Does anyone know? There's no mention of campaign finance reform on it, which we need if we're going to straighten out politics. We need that worse than anything. We'll never have honest politics again in this country until we have campaign finance reform will never get the money out of politics, the filthy money that buys influence for the corporate America and the special interest group, and it's not mentioned in the New Direction for America platform. There is not one mention of election fraud in it. Let me tell you something, if they haven't realized it, I know you have. None of the rest of this stuff matters a damn if we don't know how to have honest elections that we can count on. And nothing is mentioned in the New Direction for America from the Democrats? Who wrote this? And what were they thinking? I was just absolutely incredulous when I read this list. Were you? Could the Democrats really put out a platform without campaign finance, honest campaign finance reform on it? Could they really put out a platform that doesn't say anything about the terrible travel abuses and ethical abuses of people in the House and the Senate? Could they really be serious putting out something like this without anything in it about election fraud? I don't know what to say. I got tongue-tied after I read this today, that they would actually put something out without mentioning the war. And I guess, after being at that conference the other day and hearing Hillary Clinton speak, I guess maybe I understand why they didn't put anything on there about the war. Because they don't have the guts to do it. They don't have the guts. The leadership in the Democratic Party doesn't have the guts to even put the issue of Bush's war on our platform. This is not the official party platform. This is from the House Majority, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Hillary Clinton got booed at that conference the other day when she spoke. She got cheered at some things she said, but she got booed when she talked about the war, and rightly so. Rightly so. I saw that as an affront to Democrats everywhere, what she said about the war. She backs this war. And she's wrong. She's dead wrong. But you know what she was trying to do? She was standing there playing politics, trying to show the people in the middle, or maybe the people slightly to the right, or the independents. See? I'm not with these other crummy Democrats here. I'm a good, faithful patriotic American, and I'm for the war. She thinks she can do that. That's exactly what she was trying to do. She's going to try and swing the middle with that kind of talk. Avoid the issue of the war and say, well, you know, and she's backed Bush on this war all the way along. All the way. Oh, a little hint of being unhappy here and there from her. But basically, she's gone along with what he wanted on the war. Why, Hillary Clinton? Why? How could you do this? How could you stand up there and call yourself a Democrat representing actual Democrats with an attitude like that? John Kerry got up and told it like it was. John Kerry got up and said that, yes, he voted for the war, but it was a mistake. He knows it was a mistake. And I tell you this, and I've said this a million times, and I know most of you are absolutely beside me on it because you've sent me emails telling me so. I will not support any candidate. I will not support any candidate for President of the United States that A, either voted for this war, or B, voted for it and doesn't say it was, now recognize that it was a mistake. I will not do it. I will not hold my nose and do that. And you can give me all the speeches you want to about how we have to get the majority, we have to do this. I will not vote for somebody who doesn't have the courage to stand up against this war. I won't. If you are a Democrat and you don't have the guts to come out and say so about this war, that it's wrong, wrong, wrong. If you aren't a Democrat, you do not, and don't do that, you do not deserve to sit in the White House under any circumstances whatsoever. Now, all you Hillary fans, fine. I used to be a Hillary fan myself. But what she did was unforgivable at that conference. It was the most crass kind of politics imaginable. And I will not forgive any United States senator getting up and playing politics with the lives of our young men and women for political reasons. I will not do it. Shame on them. I don't understand. Maybe I do understand. Maybe I understand all too well what's going on. The closer you get to it, the uglier it is. I can't believe anybody could be a Democrat and get up and say what she did about the war. I can't. Now, I suppose all you Hillary fans are going to tune out now, and that's okay. But I am a Democrat, and I am a liberal Democrat, and I stand firmly against this war. I was against this war from day one, from the run-up to it, till now. Totally against it, and I will remain so until it's over with, until every last one of our kids are brought home, which I won't, by the way, ever see in my lifetime. I'm beginning to realize that that is the plan. There will be a permanent imperialistic presence of the United States of America in the Middle East. Plan on it. Count on it. That's the way it's going to be, because not only are the Republicans, the fat cat Republicans, for money reasons, interested in having a permanent presence in that area, it appears to me that the Democrats are not ready to stand against it either. That's why it's more important than ever. It's more important than ever to work for candidates this year who will stand for something, who will take a stand against this war, whom they know it is morally wrong. They know it is morally wrong. They know it. And any Democratic candidate must take a stand against this war. They must. Or if they don't, they do not belong in the House of Representatives. They do not belong in the United States Senate. And they do not belong in the Oval Office. Not a chance. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know who's going to fix it. It's up to us to fix it. As Nixon said, this great silent majority. I don't know. Anyway, I think we're probably going to take ourselves a little break here. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. And we decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org. Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
President stood in front of the jet planes. The rubble's all settled and democracy reigns. We defeated their army, taken control, dropped thousands of bombs and they've taken their toll. The oil's on fire, just like the blood of a billion Muslims dragged through the mud. And the world is safer with the dictator gone, and their lot will improve with our corporate pawn. The war is over. That's what he said, go back to your business. We've buried the dead and the war is over. Fatherless children have taken the street. All that remains is the sting of defeat. Homes are in ruins, cancer is rife. For soldiers and newborns, the end of a life. Kids grown up with just hunger and fear. But lo, behold, the Yankees are here. Now all you people are gonna be free. Cause this land was made for Chevron and me. And the war is over. That's what he said, just turn on your TV. We've buried the dead and the war is over. The government files are all up in flames. His victims of torture, who remembers their names? The past doesn't matter, but the future is bright as the Exxon refinery lights up the night. History's looted like the library's shelves, but we'll fill them with Bibles, be proud of ourselves. Turn your schools into compounds, make room for us all. If you're missing your legs, you can learn how to crawl. The war is over. That's what he said, forget it all happened. We've buried the dead and the war is over. And the price was worth it, yeah, we do it again. With bombs or with sanctions, kids, women, and men. Cause we have national interests and they must be met. We will enforce them by treaty or jet. And when time has passed and we've had some rest, we'll find a new villain, cause that's what we do best. Maybe a sultan or a grandson of Mao, but don't trouble your conscience, because as of now, the war is over. That's what he said, just put it behind you. We've buried the dead and the war is over.
All right, we're back. We're a little bit late coming back. We're waiting on Congressman Brown to give us a call in. Didn't quite arrive on time, so we'll just kind of have to play it by ear here right now. Sometime the congressman get a little busy, and we'll wait to hear from him here in a moment or two, I'm sure. How many of you heard about this story about this Marine? What was his name here? Trying to find his name. Don't tell me I've lost his name. I have. Bellini, I think, is his name. Joshua Bellini. Lieutenant Joshua Bellini. Did you hear the song and see the video of him entertaining the troops? And how everybody was clapping and singing and yelling and having such a good time over him killing a couple of Iraqi women? Let me just play it for you here. Doesn't take a moment. He's up on stage entertaining the troops. a corporal. So I grabbed her little sister and put her in front of me. As the bullets began to fly, the blood sprayed from between her eyes. And then I left maniacally. Then I hid behind the TV and I locked and loaded my M16. I blew those little girls to eternity. And I said, turn the turn on my heart. Well, how anybody could hoot and holler and be proud of that is, once again, beyond my comprehension. I really don't know. To brag about killing a couple of young Iraqi girls and watch the blood squirt out between their eyes, this is what he said in that song. To teach him not to mess with, and I'm being kind there with what he said, with the Marines. It's disturbing to me that there are people like that in our armed services. It's disturbing to me that a gentleman like this, and he's no gentleman, that would get up and sing a song like that to, quote, entertain other troops. It's disturbing that he would not end up in the stockade. I don't understand. I really don't understand. I don't think I ever will understand things like that. I really don't. Had a chance up at the conference to meet some good folks from the Ned Lamont campaign. I know a lot of you have been talking a lot about that. Lamont is catching Joe Lieberman. I think the polls are starting to look very good for Ned Lamont. He's making quite a surge up there. Let me take just a moment here and see what we've got on the phone here. Hello, this is Guy. I will be put you right on right now. We'll be with you right now. Well, as promised, ladies and gentlemen, we have Congressman Sherrod Brown. And as a former Buckeye, I'm proud to have Congressman Brown. I've interviewed him in Washington a couple of times. And he's in the middle of quite a Senate battle going on in Ohio. He's against Mike DeWine in that race, as you all know, an all-important race for the party and for control of the Senate. Congressman Brown, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hello, Congressman Brown?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, welcome to the program. I had the wrong button pushed there. So good to have you on with us today. You're in the middle of quite a fight going on up in Ohio.
Yep.
What are the latest numbers? How are they looking right now?
Well, so there's a poll taken. I don't think the public cares about polls, and most of us in politics don't believe them half the time. There's a good poll a couple days ago. NBC said I was leading the incumbent by 9 points. But I just think that people in this country have had enough with, I mean, they've seen a government that's basically sold out to the highest bidder. The oil companies write the dictate energy policy. The drug companies wrote the Medicare law. Halliburton has a lot of impact on all that's going on in Iraq, on issue after issue after issue. These guys have betrayed the public trust when they took their oath of office.
I see your opponent, Mr. DeWine, voted against fighting fraud in Iraq.
Yeah, there was a Senate vote that about giving the, you know, telling the government they've got to both recover the money and punish those contractors that have defrauded the government. And Halliburton has got billions and billions and billions of dollars in unbid contracts. They were found to have charged taxpayers at least $250 million over what they were supposed to charge. They were found at least that. And Mike DeWine got $12,000 in campaign contributions from Halliburton. I mean, there's a pattern here that Mike DeWine and others in the Senate are in the House are taking campaign contributions from the drug companies and voting for everything they want, or taking contributions from the energy industry and then giving them what they want. And the voters have to pay for this every time, and I think they've had enough.
What's the problem? Why do you think the public there isn't a terrible hue and cry going on against this? We just seem to sit back here and say, "Oh well, it's okay. Let's let it go."
Well, I don't know. I guess lots of people think that's what's always happened and that's what all of us do, but it really isn't. And I've never seen. I've been in this business a while, and I've never seen the kind of pay to play culture that there is. This corruption, where anybody that gives a, and these guys get big dollars from these interest groups, and they just write the legislation to help them, and it clearly is. I mean, taxpayers pay more dollars. We're paying higher dollars for drugs and for prescription drugs, for gas prices. I mean, there's a connection in all this, and the public's catching on. That's why I think people are saying we've had enough with this.
Is a lot of this abuse the result of that K Street project of your former former.
Whatever he was, yeah. Well, yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, this stuff is by design. I mean, this isn't an accident that all these things happened when the entire structure here, I mean, Mike DeWine and Republicans all over the city, and frankly in Columbus and other places too, benefit from this kind of arrangement. They get all this help. It helps their colleagues. It helps beat them committee chairs. They end up taking care of their friends, and their friends on K Street to make the drug bill, Medicare, the drug industry gave $30 million to President Bush and Republicans in Congress, and they got a bill that the drug industry made an extra $150 billion off of.
Well, there is a pattern to it, and I've also noticed your opponent, Mr. DeWine, is heavily into these China trade surpluses. He backed the trade agreements, and if there's any state right now that needs help with jobs, it certainly is Ohio.
Yeah, we've lost 200,000 manufacturing jobs in the last 5 years since Mike DeWine and George Bush took the oath of office, and in January of 2001, and they continue to vote for these job-killing trade agreements. They continue to vote for tax breaks that go to these large companies that outsource jobs, and vote against tax incentives for domestic manufacturers and small business that actually create jobs. And, this China trade deficit's just incredible what's happened to our country in the last 5 years.
I've read somewhere that Ohio has lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 40,000 jobs as a result of U.S.-China trade policies.
But when I said 200,000 manufacturing jobs, that's total. But in China alone, it's been 40,000 manufacturing jobs we've lost as a result of these trade agreements that Mike DeWine voted for and others have pushed in Congress.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about today as well is your stand. As you all know, the party, basically the Democratic Party, and I was at the Take Back America conference Monday and Tuesday anyway in Washington. And, there's definitely a push by mainstream Democrats, I think mainstream Democrats, grassroots Democrats at least, against the war, and now we find that there's going to be amnesty for Iraqi insurgents that kill American soldiers. Where's DeWine on this?
I'm sorry, you say the last part of the question. I was a little noisy in the room. But
I've been in noisy rooms myself the last couple of days at that conference. It was unbelievable.
It was a great conference, yeah.
Yeah, we have this amnesty question come up now.
Oh, the amnesty question. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I just, this Iraq policy right from the beginning of how we got into this war and how the Secretary of Defense and others, the administrator in Iraq, came in front of this Congress and said, and we were telling them, you got to provide body armor for the troops. They weren't doing it. They weren't taking care of the up armor and the Humvees on. They weren't helping veterans. They weren't helping soldiers and Marines when they came home with enough veterans benefits. And now we got this whole amnesty question where we're going to reward the insurgents. I mean, it's just nothing from start to finish in this war made sense. It's been so badly managed. I mean, we shouldn't have been there to begin with. That's why a lot of us voted against it. But it's been so badly managed once we were there. Anybody that tells the truth gets fired. But nobody else loses their jobs if they're high ranked because they aren't responsible for anything. It's only the grunts that lose their jobs and get punished. The high ranking officers and particularly the civilians at the Pentagon just continue to skate and get away with it.
I seem to remember one of the main themes of this Republican Party and this administration was personal responsibility. And yet we see none. Just you're exactly right. Nobody's been fired. Nobody that I know of.
It's just so interesting because I hear them preach personal responsibility if you're on welfare. But if you're a government official and took an oath of office and you're making good money and you got lots of people at your beck and call, there's no personal responsibility. That's just unbelievable. Just like for corporate America, for the CEOs that break the law, or the CEOs that you know, where greed has become such an overriding thing, where the CEO of Pfizer, the drug company, CEO for 6 years, gets an $80 million buyout package. His company lost 40% of its value in those 6 years. Talk about no responsibility, no accountability. And that's really become the story of this government, that anybody at the top gets away with what they want. There's no responsibility, no accountability, no getting the right people to take responsibility for what they did.
And we see, you know, your neighbors to the north, and of course, Ohio has auto industry. A lot of people don't realize that, but Ohio is big in the auto industry as well as Michigan. That here you've got Ford Motor Company shutting down plants all over the country, and now they're going to build a big new plant in Mexico.
I represented two Ford plants in the county I live. Lots of Ford workers have lost their jobs. I drive a 96 Thunderbird that was made 3 miles from my house. It's not made there anymore. That plant's gone, and it's just one case after another. We pass these job-killing trade agreements that the corporate investors push, and they give money to the K Street Project, to Senator DeWine and others, and that it's ultimately they've got to pay the price. They've got to be responsible for what these elected officials, for what they did. And I think the voters are onto them finally.
And we've got the big GM plant over by Youngstown. Is it rolling along okay?
The Lordstown plant's had some pretty good things happen to it. It's pretty solid. But everybody at Georgetown's worried about what happens to their pensions and what happens to their health care and what happens to the company overall. Partly because of mismanagement, partly because of a whole bunch of things. But that's a whole other issue, what we needed to do with pensions and with health care and with the legacy costs these companies have.
And you got the Delphi plant in Warren, Ohio is having problem. The Timken company is, well, of course, you got a new ambassador there, and one of them, yeah. Mr. Timken. But so many places in Ohio, I never wanted to see Ohio turn into part of the Rust Belt, but so many of those jobs have gone, and I hope by you getting into the Senate that you can help bring some jobs back to the great Buckeye State.
So Ohio's had an incredible history. I mean, so many great things in this country have come out of Ohio, the Wright brothers and Edison and so much of, you know, we've built so much of the country in the Defense Department in World War II, the military, the whole military operation was as much in Ohio as any place else. The steel and auto and glass and rubber and all that Ohio's given to the country to build this country. And, you know, people in Ohio feel that we need a very abrupt change in the direction we're going. And that's why Congressman Strickland, who's running for governor, has a very good chance this year. And together we're going to change the direction of the state and help to change the direction of the country ultimately.
Well, that is another thing. The state government in Ohio could certainly use a turnaround now, too.
This the corruption. You know, and the corruption, it's not just that, you know, some people stole some money out of the workers' comp fund, as bad as that was. The corruption really is deeper than that. It's the people in this. It's the people in our government that simply sold out our American values. When you let the drug companies write the Medicare law, and you let Wall Street write Social Security privatization, and the oil companies dictate energy policy, you've really seen a betrayal of working families and middle class families and the poor in this country.
Well, Congressman Brown, I really appreciate you being with us today. One of the ladies and gentlemen, one of the good guys in politics in Washington. We've said that many times to you before. He was on here today. We're not patting him on the back, but he is one of the good guys, and he is soon to be he's soon to be the junior senator from Ohio. So
thank you for your speaking out, and it's so important that your listeners just get energized and play a role wherever you live in the country, in governor's races and Senate races, fighting for progressive candidates that really will stand up to this corruption and stand up to the betrayal of our values, because this country is, the damage that's been done by by that betrayal of our values, whether it's in Iraq or whether it's with the environment or court appointees or all the kinds of things, our federal budget that people are going to have to pay for years so they can give tax cuts to their rich friends. I mean, all of that is so important, and we so need dramatic change in this country. So I just encourage all your listeners to get as involved as you've been.
And I encourage all the Buckeyes to get out and pull the lever for Congressman Sherrod Brown. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Sorry to call in a couple minutes late. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Congressman Sherrod Brown, and I have had the pleasure of meeting with him a few times in Washington, and he really and truly is one of the good guys, a man with a long record of public service in the state of Ohio. And he's just always been honest. He's always been forthright. He's well-spoken and kind of like yours truly here. If it's on his mind, he'll say it. He doesn't mind. I saw him once on the House floor take Tom DeLay to task, I'll tell you that. I appreciated that. A lot of people wouldn't do that, but Sherrod Brown would. And let me tell you what, Sherrod Brown will stand up for Ohio. Mike DeWine has been a wimp, been an absolute wimp. He's been a bootlicker for George W. Bush in the state as a senator from the state of Ohio. At least George Voinovich once in a while has squealed a little bit when the Republicans were pushing him to vote for whatever Bush wanted, but not Mikey DeWine. Oh, no. Mikey DeWine, the senator from Ohio, he has gone along with whatever George Bush wanted done. The typical Bush bootlicker. That couldn't be more typical. So Congressman Brown didn't say that. He wouldn't, but I did. And if you live in the Buckeye State, you get out there and support Congressman Sherrod Brown for Senate of the United States. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Guy.
Hello. Go ahead. You're on.
Is this Guy?
Yes, it is.
Well, this is Alice from Humboldt.
Hi, Alice.
I've been a big fan of Hillary's. I have sent money to her. But if she is supporting Bush's war because she thinks that's a politically smart thing to do, we can't support her anymore. Bush's war is criminal, and she has to know this.
I've been a big fan of hers as well. Had dinner with her at the Capitol building a couple of times and some other people, and I've always been a big fan of her. And
I know it hurts.
It does.
I've got her picture over here.
It does hurt. In fact, it does. I agree with you.
I've lost faith in her.
Yeah. I'm hoping she can, I don't know what the answer is. I was hoping she could come out and clarify her statements, maybe backtrack a little bit But I think she's hurt. Number one, it's wrong what she said, and number two, she has hurt her candidacy, I believe. But then again,
oh, yeah.
You know, she might be courting the people in the middle and some of them on the right. I don't know. Although it's hard for me to believe that anybody on the right would ever vote for Hillary Clinton as much as they seem to hate her.
Oh, I'm very disappointed in her.
I
really am.
I was too. I got to see her statements up close and personal the other day, and I just didn't think much of it at all. But at least John Kerry had the guts to stand up there and pound away and say that he'd made a mistake in voting for the war. I admired him for doing so. Alice, thank you for your call.
Okay.
Alice from California, beautiful state of California. Yeah, I'm. I know the politicians and strategists and all that have got their little heads together and figure out what kind of a strategy to take to get Hillary into the White House. You know they're working day and night on that. But I will not accept the fact that they would sell out mainstream Democrats right in the middle of the Democratic Party. I just can't believe they would do that. I don't know. They're trying to play both ends against the middle here, and I don't think it's going to work. I think she lost a significant number of people, got off the boat the other day when she made those comments. We shall see. We shall see if she has anywhere near the skills, political skills of her husband. She's a highly intelligent woman. There is little question about that. She knows politics. There's no question about that. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. I I don't know. I wouldn't want to predict right now. I really, really wouldn't want to predict. Did very many of you hear the conversation we had with the people from Draft Gore the other day at the conference? That was an interesting conversation. It most certainly was. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
I don't want to predict right now. I really, really
want to. Hey, somebody, guys, hello.
Oh, okay. I'm listening to you.
You've got your speakers turned up. We're hearing the echo in the background.
It's backpedaling or something.
Okay.
This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Hi. I heard you from Washington both days, and it came in very clear. I didn't hear the background noises.
Well, good. There was a lot of it.
Yeah, you couldn't really tell that if you hadn't told it. There's a couple of comments I'd like to make on a couple of things you said.
Sure.
I'm not sure that this is what you're talking about. On about two or three years ago, I saw they had a march on Washington of parents of, against the war.
Yes.
Parents of veterans against the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that, and they had the parents on, and that's what it was supposed to be about. They had them on just a little while, and then the rest of it was taken over by Palestinians and everything else but that.
Yeah, it's what always
and
happens.
And I was very disappointed. You know, I get disappointed. They need to stick to the subject they're there for, and, you know, they can have a march, but I've noticed that a lot of those, they use some of the, that was the worst one, because if they'd have had the parents on all through that, they would have got through to more people.
I agree. And
I don't know if that's what you're talking about.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. These fringe groups come in, and you know, I'm fine. Let everybody say their piece, but if I'm having a party, let them say it at somebody else's party, not my party.
Have their own party.
That's right.
Have their own march, whatever.
They always come in and do the hanging on, and they're no more interested in Democrat politics than the man in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in promoting their agenda, and we let them do it, and that upsets the apple cart time after time. And the main problem is it makes them, it makes us guilty by association with us. And the people in the middle of the road and the independents look at that, and they get look at, well, those Democrats are a bunch of wackos.
Right. And, you know, like, the Million Man March, I mean, they concentrated on what they were there for.
Yes.
And so that's what I've been very disappointed, but that was the worst one that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so wasted.
Yeah, I saw plenty.
Because it was supposed to be for the parents of the troops.
That's right. I saw plenty of it the other day at the conference. There were some groups there that just, like I said, I had to wince and go, ooh.
And the other thing I wanted to just say was, I don't know what's going on in the Congress. I haven't read that information, but I knew something was going on last night when they had a group on there and they said, we're going to vote on minimum wage on Monday, you know. And I thought, what's going on? And then this morning I saw a little of it. And they're supposed to have, I don't know if you heard this, they're supposed to have a 10-hour I don't know, what'd you call it, debate on the Iraqi war?
Oh, yeah, today.
I don't know whether they're too enthusiastic about it or not.
No, that's simply a setup. That's a setup that the Republicans said, that they set that whole thing up so that they can make the Democrats look bad. It's going to be one of those things, either you're with us or against it.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do all day.
Well, what they had this morning was, they had the Democrats speaking 1 minute, one time, you know, they were going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear that the spin that the Republicans had. And we will never forget 9/11. We will never forget 9/11. Like, I don't know, they group like us all in one, like they think we're all godless this, or you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and
sure.
I think some of them really believe it. I know some of the regular people believe it.
And their new majority leader, John Boehner, we prefer to call him Boehner. They've put out an edict to all the Republicans that to use 9/11. Use it. Exploit it. And, you know, that's so wrong. But they're doing it.
But, you know, I was glad that you had Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown. I've seen him on Washington Journal handling the incoming calls. You can tell a lot about those people, by the way, they handle the calls.
Oh, yes.
And he was very positive, but he was very, said, you know, when somebody would call in, you know, you Democrats, this and that, the other. And he was, I thought he was just excellent the way he answered.
Oh, yeah. He won't take it lying down. He'll say his piece any old time. Hey, yep. Thank you for your call.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, you don't have to worry about Sherrod Brown pussyfooting around. He doesn't do it. I sometimes wonder how he ever got elected with his attitude, and I love that kind of attitude. I really do. You know, you just get up and somebody asks you a question, and you get an answer. You get the plain old unvarnished truth when Sherrod Brown's talking to you. And there's several good guys like that in Congress. Dennis Kucinich. You ask Dennis Kucinich something, he's going to tell it like it is. Whether you agree with him or not is one thing, but you know you got the truth from him. You know he didn't play politics with the answer. He just gave you the plain old unvarnished truth. And, you know, I love that. It's so rare these days in politics, so very, very rare. And I couldn't name a dozen guys that are like that in Congress. Honestly, I don't think I could. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Don't forget, we got Jonathan Alter on tomorrow. You'll enjoy that for certain. And we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just about 5 minutes.
This is Quality News Network. In a conservative shift, the Supreme Court has ruled that police armed with a warrant can barge into homes and seize evidence even if they do not knock first. The decision is considered a huge government victory that was decided by President Bush's new justices. Dissenting justices say the decision erases more than 90 years of Supreme Court precedent, and they predict the police will now feel free to dispense with the knock altogether. Iraq says al-Qaeda's reign of terror is nearing an end as the U.S. military announced the killing of more than 100 rebels since the death of the group's leader, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, in last week's U.S. airstrike, also the discovery of a mine of information from his hideout. In a separate announcement, the Pentagon says the U.S. military death toll in Iraq since March 2003 is 2,500, with nearly 18,500 wounded and tens of thousands of Iraqis killed. Another 200 prisoners were released today in Iraq under Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's National Reconciliation Plan to free a total of 2,500 inmates by the end of the month. More than 750 have been freed so far. The Senate has passed and sent to the President the $94.5 billion spending bill to provide more hurricane relief for the Gulf Coast as well as for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The $66 billion earmarked for overseas military operations brings the total expenditure for the two wars to nearly $410 billion. Republican leaders have begun a debate in the House on the war, and then they plan to dare Democrats to vote against a non-binding resolution to hold firm on Iraq and the war on terrorism. President Bush is expected to announce today the creation of the world's largest marine protected area, a group of remote Hawaiian islands that cover 84 million acres and are home to 7,000 species of birds, fish, and marine mammals, at least a quarter of which are unique to Hawaii. It will be the country's 75th national monument. The president signed several bills today, one which boosts safety regulations for the mining industry and one which increases indecency fines against broadcasters. Wind-blown wildfires continue to keep hundreds of people from their homes in Colorado and Arizona, where severe drought conditions have created ideal conditions for wildfires. In Afghanistan, 7 laborers en route to work at a U.S. military base were killed and 17 injured when a bomb hit their minibus today. In Gaza, Hamas-controlled government says it wants a ceasefire with Israel and is willing to speak to Palestinian militant factions in Gaza to get them to stop firing rockets at the Jewish state if Israel will stop military activity in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank. This is Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Last-minute business travelers and some first-class flyers will pay more this summer for domestic tickets on some of the major airlines. Delta has raised one-way walk-up tickets by $50, a move quickly matched by United, American, and Continental. The number of newly laid-off workers filing claims for unemployment benefits fell to the lowest level in nearly 4 months last week, 295,000. That's down 8,000 from the previous week. Industrial production unexpectedly fell in May, reflecting weakness in manufacturing as the economy flashed more signals of a spring slowdown. Google has a new website for Shakespeare devotees. All of the Bard's plays are now available online by clicking onto google.com/Shakespeare. And in other Google news, the company is buying its own Silicon Valley headquarters for $319 million. It's been renting since 2003. Homeland Security Department says that the airlines are underpaying the government about $14.5 million a year. This from the taxes collected on airline tickets that are supposed to fund airport screening by the Transportation Security Administration. And United says it will eliminate at least 1,000 salaried and management jobs by the end of this year. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $69.95 a barrel this hour. That's up 81 cents from yesterday. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 101 points. NASDAQ is higher by 38, and the S&P 500 is up 14 points. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, I'm back with you at, about 6 minutes after the hour. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Congressman Sherrod Brown, soon to be the junior senator from the state of Ohio. Yes, indeed. I think things are looking good for him up there. I think things are looking good for Ted Strickland in Ohio as well, defeating the evil Ken Blackwell. Ken Blackwell. You know, politics, state politics in Ohio for the last, 4 years, been a joke. Just been an absolute joke. Been in the control of Bob Taft and Ken Blackwell and Tom Noe and all that good thing. You know, that nice little group in Ohio. They've run Ohio like Al Capone ran Chicago. They have. And you residents of Ohio, you stop and think about that. Those of you that live out in La La Land, out in the hinterlands, and in the beautiful hills and dales of Ohio, of which I'm very familiar, think about that. If you go and pull the lever for Republicans, you stop and think what happened to the Ohio State House and the governor's mansion in the last few years, the filth that took place there, the political filth. This Tom Noe, your governor, your secretary of state. This is not political BS I'm giving you. It's all facts. It's all facts. Your governor was indicted. Come on. Take a look around. Take a look around. Take a good look at Ted Strickland for governor. Take a real good look. You put him side by side, Ken Blackwell. Oh, my God. It's hilarious. It really is. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, Guy, how you doing?
Good.
Enjoyed your broadcast from D.C.
Thank you.
And, you know, this may be a small thing. However, from the sparks will come the flame.
That's right.
So, you know, the longest journey begins with the first step. And I do believe that we have a good chance of retaking some positions in Congress. And when that happens, I think we're going to see an entire new, different way of doing business. At least I certainly hope so.
Well, I hope so as well.
One can hope to be optimistic. I mean, hope does spring eternal in the human breast, correct?
It does. And this car could use an overhaul right now.
Overhaul. I think we could use a replacement completely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I say put this one in one of those big magnets and drop it in one of those crushers.
Yeah, that's what should happen to this
car. Because,
government.
You know, it's just incredible. I mean, I have never witnessed such outright theft with no apologies, no attempts to cover it up. You know
no.
what I'm saying?
No, not at all. None
but,
at
you
all.
Know, I'll tell you something, sir. That will endure but for a season and will be cut down. I can guarantee you that. Because the sun does not shine on $1 behind all the time. And that's for sure.
So true. So true. Yeah.
So just platitudes mainly, but action and reality tomorrow.
Jim, thanks for your call.
Hey, appreciate your program. Keep it up here.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
And back to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, Guy, it's Dave from California.
Hi, Dave.
And I want you to be aware that a most significant moment occurred during that convention. We had Guy James interviewing Clint Curtis. And you had asked him something like, what do you think your chances are if you're going to have to, the elections are going to be done on these same Debo machines that you hear complained about? And his response to you, and I don't think you caught it quite because of noise or whatever, that he said, I will be able to track every vote. Now, if he's found some way around these trick voting machines, that's the most significant news development, most encouraging.
Well, yeah, it sure would be. It sure would be. I had a chance to talk to Clint Curtis a lot during that, while I was on the air and while I was off the air. Clint was around making the rounds, and I talked to him a lot. But, man, I'll tell you what, he is an interesting guy, and he's also a guy that, well, you know as well as I do, and everybody knows that he ought to, one of those ones to use that much used little cliche we've been using lately, don't fly on any small airplanes. Wow. That guy's got a trunk full of stories about the black box voting machines.
Indeed, and he's running up against probably the most corrupt member of Congress right now.
Ranked number one right now.
Yeah, and you know another little story that just happened, and there's so much of this craziness going on all the time, but this candidate Busby in San Diego out here, she had encouraged all of her voters to vote for her on absentee ballots because she didn't trust the voting machinery there. And so most all of her people, her voters, were sent an absentee ballot. And before they're even counted, the machines show that the Republican had won, so she just concedes. They still haven't counted the absentee ballots, and they've already sworn in the Republican. So I understand he gave his first talk this morning.
You have to wonder, after going through a tough, long, hard, expensive campaign, why somebody would just concede. You know, we saw it happen to Al Gore. We saw it happen to John Kerry. Now we saw it happen in this case you're talking about. And man, that would be hard for me to do. I would be one of those that waited till the last dog died. I really would.
Oh, of course, you know, because you even suspect the damn machines going into it. That's why she asked, please vote on absentee. We'll have paper that can be counted. And, you know, I don't know how much it would cost to have a candidate take a dive. I shouldn't even suspect that. But why she didn't say, I will concede when all the ballots are counted if I've lost.
Really hard to understand.
The odds are she's won because the election was actually pretty close. And there was several thousand absentee ballots in her district.
Well, it's not the first time. And evidently, if the Democrats, even if they do take control of the House, according to their new edict here they put out of what they want to do for America, it's not even mentioned. Not even mentioned. I'm fascinated by that.
Well, Guy, I do believe the big news is if I heard this accurately, and I think I did, I will be able to track every vote. If he's found a way around those machines, that needs to be out all over the place.
Yeah, well, I'll have to contact Clinton and find out and ask him more about that.
Almost sure that was his response to you. He said, "I will be able to track every vote."
I'll ask him that. I've got his cell phone number. I'll call him and ask him.
Good man.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, guys. Yeah. Take care.
Bye now. You know, before the break, before we went to the news, we started to talk about Mr. Boner from Ohio, John Bonner, I believe his name is. And he's the new head cheese for the Republicans in the House, you know. And, well, not the head cheese, but anyway, the majority leader, Denny Hastert's the head cheese. Here's the words of a guy who said he was going to reach across the aisle and, quote, create a dialogue with the other side. And when when he took this job, he said he was going to reach across the aisle. You know, everybody had heard about how what a nasty guy DeLay was and how he's a real son of a bitch in dealing with Democrats. So Boner says, I'm gonna do a different job. I'm going to put my hand across the aisle and shake the hands, you know. So he says he wants this rational debate on Iraq, and he puts out a memo to the GOP members of the House, and let me tell you what this memo says, this guy who wants to create a dialogue with the other side. Number one, exploit 9/11. The two-page memo mentions 9/11 seven times. It describes debating Iraq in the context of 9/11 as imperative. Let me say that sentence again. It describes debating Iraq in the context of 9/11 as, quote, imperative. I guess it worked for their convention, and it'll work for them again. Number two, attack opponents ad hominem. The memo described those who oppose President Bush's policies in Iraq as sheepish, weak, and prone to waver endlessly. Number three, create a false choice. The memo says the decision is between supporting President Bush's policy and hoping terrorist threats will fade away on their own. That's one of those when you're going to stop beating your wife type deals. Here's a guy that says to the public he's going to reach across the aisle and create a dialogue. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, you know, Dave did bring up the fact we were talking about Clint Curtis, who's running for Congress in Florida against Tom Feeney. Tom Feeney now has the distinction of being rated the number one most crooked congressman. We had DeLay was ranked. Now, I didn't do these rankings. DeLay was ranked number one, and Duke Cunningham was ranked number two, and we know what happened to both of them. And Feeney was ranked number three. So due to the fact that one of the other gentlemen aforementioned is now in prison, and the other one, please God let it happen, may soon join him, Mr. Feeney ascends to the top. Number one, uno, one. As the most corrupt politician in Washington, D.C. Congratulations. And once again, congratulations to the state of Florida. Oh, God. Why is it us? Why is it us? I don't know. Why, oh, why, oh, why do we have to be associated with that kind of stuff all the time? How many of you, at least I do want to be fair. I do want to be fair. Wayne Gilchrist, Republican from Maryland. He acknowledged that he's got ambivalent feelings about the way forward to success in Iraq. And this guy, you know, he's being honest. He cited his own battlefield experiences, and he said this uncertainty is all the more reason for a full debate on Iraq. How many members have in their life experience put a barrel of the gun on another man's chest and pulled the trigger, he asked in an interview this week. How many members have experienced the chaos of a 3 a.m. battle pushing your bayonet through another man's body? How many members have wrapped themselves around a fellow soldier who just lost his legs in a landmine and you feel the last breath and he's dead? Calling in airstrikes on a village and walking through, seeing dead babies and others who are still alive, being with someone who's been shot and you can't move, you can't do anything because you're under intense fire and he dies right next to you. How many in Congress have experienced that? Thank you, Wayne Gilchrist, Republican from Maryland. Thank you for being one, a voice in the Republican wilderness, to come forth and talk about how maybe this issue ought to be debated. Thank you. And I mean that. Where are we at here? I have so many things I want to talk about today. Karl Rove, I think we'll talk about Karl Rove tomorrow. I still haven't caught up on that whole story. How many of you saw Bush's speech yesterday? Did you enjoy Junior's speech yesterday? Didn't you? Boy, oh boy. These guys are something else. I mean, they really are. We talked to Glenn Greenwald about this the other day and Mike Tomasky. It's been hell on earth for these boys for how long now? We've had Rove under the shadow of an indictment. We've had, Libby being indicted. The horrible Katrina disaster that was handled, a kindergarten class in Memphis, Tennessee could have done a better job handling that entire situation. They'd have had more sense about them. The culture of corruption in the Republican Party that's just plain overwhelming. We've had a president whose ratings are in the toilet, and a war that has been lost. Has been lost. Let me say that again. A war that has been lost. And all of a sudden, they catch one guy. They kill Zarqawi. And glory, hallelujah, let's have a May Day parade. Let's have a parade down, Fifth Avenue in New York or wherever it is. Let's have a ticker tape parade. All of a sudden, they killed Zarqawi. And all is right with the world. Oh, my God, yes. All of a sudden, the war has turned around. Never mind the several hundred that have died in bombing since that time. Since Zarqawi. It has made not one iota of difference in Iraq. Not one iota. And anybody with a brain would understand that it won't make any difference in Iraq. Because there are 1,000 people waiting to take Zarqawi's place. And somebody, as I mentioned on the program in Washington the other day, Zarqawi was fired from his job a long time ago. He was no longer in charge. And so it's not the big deal. Yes, fine. We got a bad guy. Wonderful. Wonderful. But it wasn't the earth-shaking development the Bush people want to put. So all of a sudden, he flies to Iraq in Air Force One. Notice the photo ops. Did you see Tony Snow in his little helmet? Michael Dukakis moment. Did you see Bush in the cockpit exploiting the situation politically? He goes over there to talk to the leader in Iraq. And comes back saying, well, now I'm certain that things are, and he wasn't before. They backed this guy and put this puppet in office once and didn't have certainty in him before. And going back to the Zarqawi situation, it is estimated that Zarqawi, when he was ahead of the terrorist activity, that only 7%, Jack Murtha and Jack would know, says 7% is all that he had charge of. 7%. You know what that means, boys and girls? That means we are dealing not with a flock of terrorists in Iraq. Oh, to be sure, there are some who have moved in since Junior Bush started his war. Be certain of that. Oh, yes, they've moved in. But what we are facing is a genuine insurgency. We are dealing with Iraqis wanting to kick Americans the hell out of their country. That's what we're dealing with. This is no home base for a war on terror. Not at all. And so this cocky little guy comes striding out to the podium yesterday like he was the winning pitcher in the World Series or something. And who was it? Hannity? I think Hannity called it a triumphant speech. Something akin to that anyway. Yes, sir, we've been at the war on terror for five long years now. And let's just take a look at what we've accomplished in those 5 years. Bear with me for a minute. Let's take a look. I'm sure most of you realize that Bush's war has now lasted almost as long as the Second World War. Did you realize that? Did you stop and think about that? Almost as long as the Second World War. And what does Junior Bush's scorecard on this war say as of now? Well, I went out and gathered a study that was released just a couple of days ago, the Foreign Affairs Journal, a highly respected publication, nonpartisan, completely nonpartisan. They released a study 2 days ago. It's a survey done by 100 leading American foreign policy analysts. And let me just tell you about this 100 leading American foreign policy analyst. The list of those people surveyed on that 100 are some former heads of the CIA and the National Security Agency, some well-known members of the U.S. foreign policy establishment, and even an ex-secretary of state. Almost all of them served in previous administrations or were senior military advisors and personnel. I think you'd have to give these folks the benefit of the doubt and say that they most likely know what they're talking about, wouldn't you? It seems that there's this overwhelming consensus in the report that Bush's war on terror isn't proceeding the way the administration would have you believe. You see, Bush is claiming we're winning the war on terror. The problem for Junior Bush is that 86% of these people who know a hell of a lot more about the situation than Junior Bush could ever dream of knowing, 86% of them surveyed in this study say quite the opposite. The 86% believe that the world has grown far more dangerous during these last 5 years. Let me repeat, far more dangerous during these last 5 years. We've actually lost ground. Lost ground during Bush's war on terror. The survey of 100 experts say the main reasons for our losing ground is the U.S. policy toward Iran, the U.S. energy policy, and the detention of terror suspects in Guantanamo Bay. Do they think that's some little secret place that the Muslim world doesn't know about and has forgotten about? Do they think that, really? Do you not know that every Muslim in the world knows what's going on in Guantanamo Bay, and it is an issue? A very big issue. Wouldn't it be an issue with you if you were in their shoes? You bet it would. This panel of experts agree that there needs to be widespread rejection of radical Islamic ideologies if we're going to stamp out terrorism. I think we all agree with that. However, and we've said this on this program, and many of you have known this, that the goal requires a much higher emphasis on its non-military tools. The military is not the answer. Not the answer. This group almost unanimously agreed that Washington's diplomatic agenda is appalling. That's the word the study used, appalling. Asked to rate it on a 1 to 10 scale, they voted it a 1.8, which is a miserable number. They rated Homeland Security at only 2.9 out of 10. Joe Cirincione, who's the vice president of the Center for American Progress, which is the organization that co-sponsored the survey, said, when you strip away the politics, the experts, almost to a person, are very worried about the administration. This is stripping away the politics, folks. They think none of our frontline institutions is doing a good job and that Iraq has made the terror situation much worse. And here's the terrible part of this whole thing. This makes me hurt as an American. When asked what presents the single greatest danger to American security, almost half of the analysts said loose nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction, but only 4% said Iran. Only 4% of these experts said Iran poses a great threat. He said that the fact that so few experts think Iran is a threat and so many regard Iraq as a mistake turns the administration's policies on their head. You know, we've been saying all along in this program, ever since this whole thing started, that the answer to this terror problem is not the use of military force. Oh, to be sure. A little clandestine operation by the SEALs or Green Berets here and there, maybe yes, to take out a cell or something. Yeah. Yeah. But not an army. But military force is not the answer. It's not the basic answer to this. I've always believed that thinking people would realize this fact, but I was wrong. There's a gentleman named, I can't think of his name right now, Leslie Gelb, President Emeritus of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was very blunt with his statements. He said, and I quote, "The reason is that it's clear to nearly all that Bush and his team have had a totally unrealistic view of what they can accomplish with military force and threats of force," unquote. Simply put, what these people are saying in this study is exactly what we've been saying right here for a long time now, and it's that the world is far more dangerous now than when Bush started his so-called war on terror. Bush's plan, Junior Bush's plan in this whole thing is a resounding failure. And the part of this whole thing that has bothered me more than anything, and should bother any American, the Pew Research Center, which is a very respected polling and research center, very respected, nonpartisan, in a recent poll by the Pew Research Center, they found that of almost 17,000 people from China, Britain, France, Egypt, Germany, India, Indonesia, Japan, Jordan, Nigeria, Pakistan, Russia, Spain, Turkey, and the United States, the respondents stated that Washington is a bigger threat to world peace than Tehran. Jesus. That makes you want to cry as an American to hear something like that. And this poll is taken right in the middle. Keep this in mind. That poll was taken right in the middle of that press barrage about the nuclear situation in Iran when the Bush administration was making such a deal and plastering it all over the papers about how they were going to hit us the next day with a nuke if we didn't do something. This poll was taken right then, and the world community thinks we're a bigger threat than is Iran. How much worse news could there be for our country than that? The world thinks we are the worst threat. And I know what the right-wingers are sitting out there thinking right now. Who the hell cares what the rest of the world thinks? We're America, by God. We do whatever we want to. Right? That's what they're saying. We're all powerful. We got all the big guns, and they don't. We'll just kick their asses. Who cares what they think in those other countries? Who cares what France thinks and Jordan thinks? And who, that whole list of countries, who gives a damn what they... Russia? Pfft. Spain, Turkey, Japan, France, Egypt, Germany, India. Who cares what they think? I care what they think. I think we all need to care what they think. The survey also shows a rapid decline in support for the U.S. since 1999 and in Muslim countries where we had unusually good relations with the people, like Turkey, for example. The ratings have crashed there as well. In Turkey, this is the place that was ultra-friendly to the United States. Favorable ratings in Indonesia for the U.S. have dropped from 75% down to 30%. Folks, do you know how many 100 million people live in Indonesia? From Turkey, the ratings for the United States have dropped from 52% down to 12%. In England, Washington's closest ally, favorable ratings toward the United States have dropped from 83% down to 56%. It's the same in France, from 62 down to 39, from Germany, 78 down to 37, and in Spain, from 50 down to 23%. The whole world has lost respect and trust for the United States of America, which is something we could always hang our hats on in this country. Do you think anybody would be giving us a Statue of Liberty as a gift now? I don't think so. If we get hit again by terrorists, God forbid if there's another 9/11, do you think there will be the outpouring of grief and sympathy from the rest of the world that there was after 9/11? I think not. I think there are many people in this world, and as this study shows, that think we deserve what we get. And damn it, the American people don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. But our leaders have brought that attitude upon us. But our leaders have allowed that attitude to be pervasive amongst the people of the world. God, I can't forgive them for that. I cannot forgive the Bush administration for what they've done to the good standing of the United States of America in the world community. I cannot. It'll take decades to rebuild the trust that we had around the world. Decades, if ever. You know, folks, it's time to face facts. It's time to forget the spin you hear 24/7 on the right-wing controlled TV and radio shows, and it couldn't be more clear. Bush's war on terror is almost a cataclysmic disaster. There is no other way to put it. I don't give a damn what you've seen on TV from the right-wing spin machine lately. It is a disaster. Bush can fly into Baghdad every damn day if he wants to. That doesn't make things outside that green zone one damn bit better for our soldiers or for the people of Iraq or for the entire Middle East, for that matter. Made it seem like he was over there in big jeopardy flying in on Air Force One. Please, give me a break. As we've said right here on this program from the very beginning, this man is going to leave a legacy for himself that would embarrass the Marx Brothers. And the shame, the humiliation, and most unforgivable of all, the danger he has brought on the United States of America is absolutely unforgivable. Under this administration, around this world, and in our own country, the beautiful flag of the United States of America has come to stand for corporate power, for global conquest, for death, for destruction, and for oppression. That's what people see when they see the stars and stripes flying around the world now. That's what they see. I'm not sure, and I don't want to attribute it to the wrong person, but I believe it was Howard Zinn who said there is no flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people. And I certainly couldn't agree more with that statement. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after a word or two. Don't go away.
This is Bruce Burch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to. A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, just
join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
This is Colonel Ann Wright. I resigned from the State Department in protest over the war in Iraq the day the war began. I had served in the State Department for 16 years and for 29 years in the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. The war in Iraq was a war of choice, not a necessity for our national defense. The Bush administration now bombs countries rather than speaking to them. We in the Congress were lied to, and we need an investigation of those lies. Please ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney for the lies they have told and the dangerous situation they have placed our country in.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Ah, yes, we're back with the Kai James Show. Thank you for listening today. Glad to have all of you along with us. Oh, what a day it's been. Getting back from that little trip, you know. My, how hectic that was. Very, very hectic trip. You got to pack a bunch of equipment along with you, and I don't know, the flying, and I love to fly. By the way, have any of you ever had to take one of those puddle jumpers from Philadelphia into D.C. from that little... I don't know. Must have been an airport they made in Philadelphia right after the Wright brothers decided they could fly an airplane. Man, what a trip that was. They take you by shuttle from the main Philadelphia airport, which isn't all that great, on over to this little one where you actually walk out on the tarmac and get on one of these little prop jets. What a comfortable ride that was. Here we go, and we're on the phone. Hi, you're with the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, listen, I came up with an idea. I think before we elect any politicians, they ought to take an oath and say they're willing to take and have their index fingers cut off before they take office.
Their index fingers. All righty. Let's go for it. I'm game.
What do you think? So they can't stick it up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing? God, I can't take it no more.
I know. Isn't it the truth?
I really can. If I hear the words... A war on terror once more, I think I'm going to drink a bottle of battery acid. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
I think this has been overplayed. I don't know.
Yeah, who was it said it today? One of the politicians said it today. Was it Jack Murtha? I think it was Jack Murtha said it today. They were talking. He said, no, I'm not talking about the war. Now I've forgotten what he said, but.
I've watched all of it.
Yeah, he said, I'm not talking about any war on terror. I'm talking about the war in Iraq, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's you're comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, listen, I'll tell you, Guy, I listen to you sometimes. It's usually around the end of your show, and I can hear that you just had it. You're about ready to take and toss it in.
Yeah, I'm frustrated with the whole thing. I really am.
Well, I don't know where we're going to go from here. Nothing's been solved. The voting machines, that's all still hanging out there. And, here we got in Ohio, this Blackwell. He hasn't given up his stranglehold on these voting machines yet.
No, he's not going to either unless the court forces him, and that's highly doubtful in the state of Ohio with the Supreme Court there anyway. It's Republican-controlled.
I don't see where we're going to... I don't know. I guess what the American people are getting what they deserve.
I actually have.
If there was been a lot said before this war, instead of everybody just falling in lockstep, maybe we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now.
And
hated throughout the world.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. If we'd had a fair election in 2000, just stop and think how different this world would be. I mean, yeah, it's. you really have to sit down and really, really think deep into it, just how different the world would be right now if Al Gore would have been president in 2000.
We could have took care of these terrorists that attacked us.
Sure, absolutely.
And found their cells and that without spending all these billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars.
Sure.
And sooner or later, you know, I listened to a talk show, I don't know, maybe about a month ago, and they was talking about that the American people are going to see their Social Security. It's going to go by the wayside. Medicare, Medicaid, all that, that's going to go by the wayside. And people are going to start seeing that they're going to take, and their relatives are going to have to take care of them, because they're not going to see anything from this government, and it is all about what Eisenhower said back in the 50s. Beware of the military complex.
That's right.
That's why this nation don't have health care like it should, and it doesn't care about its people.
Been a big vacuum cleaner sucking up all the money.
Yeah, and a guy, you know, they say, well, these politicians, we send them to the Congress, and we vote and elect a president. They can do the people's bidding. Why is minimum wage stuck at what it is right now?
Outside of Ted Kennedy, there's just not a whole lot of interest in it. There just isn't.
Oh, you know, I remember back in 68, Guy, when I was working for minimum wage at a dollar quarter an hour, and I think it went up to like $1.60 an hour or something like that.
Hey.
And that was a huge increase from a dollar and a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
$1.60.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they're already claiming, well, not, you know, everybody's already making minimum wage, and the people are getting by on this, and they can get more than one job if they don't like it. You know, I'm with you. I'm discouraged. I really am. I'm hoping like everything that with these midterm elections that we can turn some things around, this at least turn the corner.
Oh, Guy, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's wishing in one hand and doing what you want to do in the other.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I haven't heard that saying in a long time.
Yeah, you've got to take a lesson. These people went out, the Democrats, and they just went in 99 and worked their tails off. And what happened to us?
Yeah.
You know, we got cheated out of that election. Gore would have made an absolutely fabulous president.
Yep.
I'm positive of that. And here in 2004, I don't think Kerry would have been that hot, but he'd have been a hell of a lot better than what we got, the brain dead guy we got in there right now.
Elmer Fudd would have been better than who we got in there now.
Jesus. So every once in a while I get to take him a chuckle and have a laugh, but
he would have got that. Elmer would have got that twatted wabbit.
Yeah. You know, that Jim that called in your show, he's a pretty intelligent guy, and mm-hmm. I've listened to him a lot of times talk, and I'm just not upbeat like he is. I just really haven't.
Well, we...
I don't see it happening. I think because the people are going to say, I did it once, I've done it twice, and the people, the voters that are on the fringe are going to say the hell with it. I'm not even going to show up. It's rigged. Why should I take him... stand in line or go there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many people this coming election that got shut out in Columbus and Cleveland, Ohio in the last election are just going to stay home this time? You're exactly
that's
right.
That's what I'm saying, Guy. Listen, I don't know. I seem to be able to predict a lot. I don't know why, because it's never for the good, it seems like, when I am right. But I honest to God believe that the fringe voters are not going to be there, and I'll tell you what, if it happens in the elections coming up, and it happens in 08, this country is I don't even want to think about it.
Well, if it happens again, we might be on that mountain road with no brakes,
we're hanging on that cliff, Guy.
Yep.
You know, that you always see with that branch sticking out.
I'm afraid we are.
You can see the roots coming out of the cliff.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call. Good.
All right, listen, you take care, Guy.
Bye.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Garrison Keillor. Y'all know who Garrison Keillor is. Good old Lake Wobegon. I'm not a big showbiz type guy, but I've always said if I could, and you'll find this very strange, a lot of you will, but if I could trade places with anybody, that, and it had to be a showbiz person, if I had to, it would be Garrison Keillor. Good old Lake Wobegon and all that. I just think he does fantastic work. Probably a little dry for a lot of you, but not for me. And he wrote an article in Salon magazine that I like to read, and I think he sums it up just absolutely perfectly. And I'll just quote him. He said, "You might not have always liked Republicans, but you could count on them to manage the bank. They might be lousy tippers, act snooty, talk through their noses, wear spats, and splash mud on you as they race their pierce arrows through the village, but you knew they could do the math. To see them produce a ninny and then follow him loyally into the swamp for 5 years is disconcerting, like seeing the Rolling Stones take up light jazz. So here we are at an uneasy point in our history, mired in a costly war and getting nowhere, a supine Congress granting absolute power to a president who seems to get smaller and dimmer, and the best the Republicans can offer is San Francisco phobia? This is beyond pitiful. This is violently stupid. It's painful to look at your father and realize the old man should not be allowed to manage his own money anymore. This is the discovery the country has made about the party in power. They are inept. The checkbook needs to be taken away. They will rant, they will screech, and they'll wave their canes at you and call you all sorts of names. But you have to do what you have to do." Garrison Keillor, as always, a wonderful piece in Salon magazine. Do admire the guy quite a lot. A little story that you haven't heard anything about when Bush and Condoleezza Rice and all the people have gone around crowing about how wonderful things are in Iraq here the past few days. First of all, I would preface my remarks by saying I haven't heard him say a damn word about bringing our soldiers home. Have you? Amongst all the chatter going on in the past few days by Mr. Bush and his people, have you heard them mention when the soldiers are coming home? I've had my ear to the ground on that one, and I haven't heard a word. Not a word. In fact, Tony Snow said today at the news conference, the press for the press, White House press conference, when someone brought up the number 2,500, that we'd now reached the 2,500 plateau. He said it's just a number. Just a number. I have to tell you, and I guess most of you, anybody that knows me personally, and those of you that have heard me for a while, I have to tell you, if I had a kid that got killed in Iraq and I heard Tony Snow say something like that, I believe, oh boy, I can't imagine saying it. But once again, they've shown the callousness that they have toward the lives of American soldiers and the lives of the Iraqis. They're different people. They're a different kind of people. There is some other place than we are. There's a certain level of decency that we all aspire to, and we work hard to get to that level of decency and stay there and treat our fellow men the right way. And act as society would want you to act, in a reasonable and responsible manner. But not these people. They have no conception of that. Oh, maybe they do. Maybe they do have conception of it, but what would even be worse if they had conception of it and have contempt for that? Which is exactly the way I see it from their side, that they have contempt for the ordinary bounds of decency. We have a Supreme Court ruling come down today, tilted by the new justices supported by this Bush administration. Two Supreme Court justices who never should have been on the Supreme Court, who will be there for decades to come, The Bush legacy will live on for decades because of appointments they made to the Supreme Court. And what did the Democrats do about it? Nothing. Didn't put up a fight, not a squeak, not a squawk, nothing. They just let it go. No filibuster, no nothing. They just let it happen. And now, do you know? Do you know that now the police can come to your door in the middle of the night and knock it down without a warrant? Do you know that? Oh, so you live out in La La Land, out in the middle of nowhere, and you say, well, that doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my family. We're all good people and all. The old saying, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to worry about. Really? Really? And I know you don't like to hear me say it, but I'm going to say it. Do you think the good people in Nazi Germany in 1933, do you think a lot of them possibly didn't have anything to hide either, but people without search warrants came knocking their doors down in the middle of the night and dragged them out because they didn't like them for one reason or another? Do you know that? Do you know that's how it starts? And folks, I want to remind every one of you who disagrees with what I said right there that Germany was a good, decent, law-abiding, ethical country, civilized, highly literate country, wealthy country, before it was taken over by despots. Does that not remind you of anybody? When the laws were discarded as if they were so much confetti, when they did knock doors down in the middle of the night because they wanted to get somebody for their religion, or they disagreed with them politically, they knocked their doors down in a country that once was a lawful country, that did have laws, that had them on the books, that had a Supreme Court, that did protect its citizens from things like that, but those laws were discarded. And they weren't discarded overnight. Oh, no. They were discarded one at a time. Drip, 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 drip. And now the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that the police can knock your door down in the middle of the night without a search warrant. When I heard that today, my hair stood up on the back of my neck. That frightens me. Oh, not that I have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to worry about. But some poor soul around this country, sooner or later, will get dragged out of his bed in the middle of the night and there'll be trouble that he didn't ask for, that he didn't deserve. And if we continue under a regime like we have in the White House now, there'll be lots of people dragged out of their beds in the middle of the night for no reason. Why? Because it's now legal to do so. And you might have said something these goons don't like, and they'll be able to get you. Ah, yes. Not just go to court and get you. They'll be able to come in your home and actually get you. Frightening. Absolutely frightening. And we also see that now the FCC, we've got a war in Iraq, we've got an economy that's gone to hell in the proverbial handbasket, we've got this, that, and the other, we've got so many problems in America, but the FCC, being the ever-vigilant folks that they are over there, now that the Salem Witch Trial peoples have taken control of that organization, if you say, and just to give you an example of the extremism taking place in this country right now, and I'm talking about real, genuine extremists, you all know why they're not saying anything about illegal aliens being hired at companies, because big business wants illegal aliens to work for them for pennies on the dollar. They want that. So if you hire an illegal alien in this country and get caught, you get fined $250. Oh, my. $250. Now, that's going to break General Motors. But if you say bullshit on the air, you get fined $325,000. Ah, yes. There's nothing like consistency, is there? Hard to believe. There are things happening all around us. I might have been on a downer today. I don't know, but... there are so many bad things happening right now that you can't balance out with good things that it is depressing. It's very depressing. And we need to talk about it. And if we don't talk about it, we're not going to settle it. And if we just sweep it under the rug and let it go every single day, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, it'll be not within our grasp to do anything at all about it. That's why we as the citizens of this country do need to remain ever vigilant. That's why we need to be the squeaky wheel when things like this happen. Somebody has to. If it has to be us, then so be it. If it has to be you, if it has to be me, somebody's got to do it. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us this week. We'll be back tomorrow, of course. And we're going to have Jonathan Alder on with us tomorrow with his new book about Roosevelt. Oh, man, what a good read about one of the truly great characters in the history of the world. And I don't mean that in any other way than just what I said. One of the great characters in the entire history of the world, Franklin Roosevelt. And what a fabulous book it is. We'll be here with Jonathan Alder tomorrow. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate you being with us when we were in Washington. Those of you that listened to the program there, we were off for traveling yesterday, back today, and be back again tomorrow. So I do want to remind you, as always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a great one, gang. See you tomorrow.